Hello, welcome to episode 45 of Born to Thrive with Jamie Lee. I'm your host and coach, Jamie Lee. How are you, my friends? How was your November? At the beginning of November, I had made a commitment to myself that I was going to commit and follow through on my commitments, no matter what. And this has been a really rich month for me. I have experienced the full spectrum of emotions. And I am still following through on my commitments, regardless of how or what I feel. Sometimes amazing, and sometimes not amazing. But it doesn't mean that anything has gone wrong. It doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with me or you if you're feeling the full spectrum of human emotions. It simply means that we're going through a human experience. And what a privilege it is to have the full human experience. It's the privilege of my life. And I know that I am thriving because even though I feel all the feels, I am still showing up. I'm still here. I'm happy to share this very exciting replay of free coaching live that I recorded last week, the day before Thanksgiving. And we talked about the difference between insight and information and the impact of insight on your negotiation success. We talked about the impact of gratitude, of emotions that drive brave actions. We talked about the importance of self-appreciation for self-advocacy. And then I walked a volunteer, Andrea, through a 20-minute exercise to think through her key strengths and from the perspective of the key decision maker at her work, whose buy-in she would need in order for her to become better paid. And I thought this was a really fun and engaging session, and I hope that you will find value in it as well. I will talk to you soon. Enjoy.
Hello, hello. Right. Happy day before Thanksgiving. We'll get started in just a few minutes. Hello, my name is Jamie Lee. I'm a negotiation and leadership coach. I'm based in New York City, and this is Get Bolder, Braver, and Better Paid webinar series, and this is free coaching live. I've been teaching negotiation since 2011 when I started organizing meetup events, community workshops to help women become bolder, braver, and better paid. And, you know, in the years that I've worked as a negotiation coach and speaker, I found that what's really powerful is not information. It's not when you have more information that you become a better negotiator. It's when you have insights that are unique and useful to you. It's when you find that internal motivation to really show up and brave difficult conversations that you do take that calculated risk of negotiating, of advocating for what you want. And I know we are here in America going to be celebrating Thanksgiving tomorrow, and I think gratitude is such a powerful emotion that drives our action. James Altucher, one of my favorite writers, says that gratitude is actually the ultimate miracle. And there is a phenomenal article that he wrote in 2011, and he talks about how all of the successful people that he knows, the most successful people in life and in business, the one thing they have in common is that they are grateful. And so I'm curious, what does the feeling of grateful, of being thankful, How does that feel like for you? And what is the impact of gratitude for you? I mean, it's the time of the year where we're all thinking about how are we grateful. So I'm curious, what has been the effect of feeling grateful for you? I'd love to hear about it. At the bottom of your screen, there is a Q&A box. So if you click on that and just type in your responses, we can have a conversation. And now I think for me, being grateful, I think of joy, wonder. And in fact, I looked up the word gratitude and I was curious to know, like, what does it actually mean to be grateful? And I found some of these definitions really fascinating. Grateful is, of course, being thankful, but also grateful can mean pleasing to the mind and affording comfort or pleasure. I didn't know it had those other meanings, but it's really, I think, accurate because, you know, sometimes when I wake up and I'm kind of in like a blah mood, what I do is I write down all of the things that I'm grateful for, what I appreciate, yeah? And by the end of the exercise, after I fill the whole page about like how I'm appreciative of high-speed internet, I'm appreciative of electricity, I'm appreciative of the opportunity to show up and do my life's work, which is to coach and to speak and to serve people. Like at the end of that exercise, I'm feeling really good. I'm feeling happier, I'm feeling lighter. Andrea says, I am grateful for opportunities to learn and grow. Oh yes, absolutely. And people, and for people who pour into me and help me do better. Absolutely. And you know, when you focus your attention on the things that you're grateful for, you notice there's just, what you focus on is what you get, right? So when you focus on the people who pour into you and help you do better, you notice there are more people in your life who pour into you and help you do better. Now, gratitude is amazing. It really is. I think James Altucher is right. I think gratitude is the ultimate miracle. But you know what's even better? What's even better is when you have future gratitude. Future gratitude is when you are grateful in advance for what you are about to receive. I have a client who is struggling to find a better paying job. And he told me that he is going to a networking event. He committed to going to a networking event, but there was so much anxiety and dread ahead of attending this very important networking event. And he was kind of hoping, he was hoping that I would help him with this. So of course I coached him, and then I dreamt up this exercise, which is for him to write a thank you card from the future. So feel free to try this out because it worked beautifully for him. And he ended up actually showing up to the networking event. And he said that he was in the moment, he was present, he really made valuable and authentic connections. And in fact, he just wrote me last night, he's like, you know, I got in touch with the HR person, I got in touch with another resource person who says he's going to help me prepare in advance for this. So okay, here's the exercise. If you have a social engagement or a networking event, or maybe even a job interview, something, right, that's in your calendar that's kind of like filling you with dread and anxiety, imagine that you are writing a thank you card the day after the event. It's the day after the event. So if this event is on December 6th, go to December 7th, okay? And pick a person, any person who's involved in this engagement, this interaction, okay? And write a thank you card to this person. And make up all the details. Say, thank you so much, Jane, for interviewing me for this wonderful opportunity. I learned a lot of things that are going to be valuable to me as we move along in this process. And, you know, fill in the blanks, make up the details. Again, this is just a brain exercise to help you feel future gratitude. And at the end, just say, hey, you know, I look forward to the next time we speak, which will be on, again, make up the details, January 5th, 2019. The key thing here is for you to be genuine in your emotion of gratitude, yeah? But don't be needy. Don't get hung up on like the outcomes that you really want for yourself. When you get attached to the outcomes, there's this feeling of neediness and this feeling of like, oh, I need this right now, and this desperation, right? So just forget all of that. Just revel. Just kind of melt into the gratitude, the joy and the wonder and the, according to this dictionary, the sense of things being pleasing to the mind, affording comfort or pleasure, yeah? And my client did this. He wrote a thank you card from the future before he went to the event. And then he said that the effect that this had on him was that when he actually went to the event, he was alive. He was present. He felt real, genuine gratitude, right? Because he practiced the emotion of gratitude. This might sound kind of woo-woo. This might sound kind of like, why, right? Where's the hard negotiation tactics and strategies here? This is really important though, because we don't do things because we simply know what to do. Having more knowledge, having more, you know, tactics and scripts is not what's gonna motivate you to actually show up and do the hard and the difficult and the brave things. It's the feeling that drives our actions. It's emotion that drives our actions. When you think about it, like when you feel apathetic, what do? Nothing, right? If you feel motivated, what do? You show up. You do the thing, you do a good job. When you feel sad, what do? I mean, me, I kind of check out, I zone out, I get kind of limp like this and I slouch, right? How we feel affects how we show up and what we do. And so fueling yourself with that gratitude, I think, can be really powerful and effective. Having said that, I know the hardest thing for ambitious people, I coach mostly ambitious professional women, and I know the hardest thing for ambitious professional women is feeling self-appreciation, is feeling grateful for the things that we are and what we do. Why is that? Because we are ambitious. We always want to achieve the next thing. And you know, I'll speak for myself. I'm always like, well, I haven't done X, Y, and Z yet. I mean, sure, I did A, B, C, D, N, E, and F, but like, come on, when am I going to get the X, Y, and Z done? I want to get that done now. I haven't gotten it done yet, so it must not be good enough. That's how my brain works. I don't know about you. And so even though I do a lot of things, and I know I contribute value, sometimes it's like the most difficult thing to do for me to feel self-appreciation. This is important because how else will you advocate for the value you bring if you cannot appreciate yourself? Yeah? You hear me on that? What do you think about that? Tell me, what is your struggle around advocating for yourself, whether, you know, it's in a professional context, whether, hey, tomorrow we're going to be sitting around the dinner table with a lot of family and friends, and you know, they can be a little judgy, yeah. And sometimes you feel, how can I talk about what I do without feeling ick? All right. Some people have the fear that they don't want to come off as arrogant. Yeah, that's the brain saying, hey, how dare you say nice things about who you are and what you do? People will judge you. Is it really people or is it you judging you? Yeah, I mean, for me, that's been my experience. My experience is that I am my most harsh critic. I have a little notebook. I started this little moleskin because I really wanted to become more confident as a coach and speaker. And I thought, why is it so hard for me to like absorb and ingest the nice things, praise, compliment, thank yous that I get from people? So I started literally writing them down in this paper. I mean, on paper in this notebook. Anyone else? What is your struggle around advocating for your value, whether it's in a professional context or in personal? Okay, Teresa, for me, it has been the people who raised me actively neglecting and completely downplaying my value and accomplishments. This creates fear of whenever I have success, then somebody will mistreat me. Thank you for sharing that. Has been the people who raised you actively neglecting and completely downplaying your values and accomplishment. Okay, so here's what I want to offer. When you think about going to articulate your value, owning your success, I want to bring to your attention that it is the memory, it is the mind recreating those scenarios in your head, right? And sometimes, yes, sometimes there are people who will downplay you. There are critics, there are haters, right? But it's what we make that mean in our minds. It's the thought we have, right? Teresa, you hit it on the nail. It's the fear. It's the fear that is in our mind. And I believe that we can consciously overcome the fear, because the fear is in our mind and it's experienced as a vibration in the body. So, okay, I want to walk you through, as I promised, this 20-minute exercise. And, you know, everyone and anyone can do this. If you are a speaker, if you are a coach, if you are a business development professional, if you are a digital marketing consultant, anyone can do this. First thing is, let's get clear on what you want, right? We're talking about negotiation. We're talking about how to prepare to articulate your value so that you can frame for value and get what you want. What do you want? What do you want in 2019? Feel free to type it into the Q&A box. You know, when I did this exercise for executive women, some of the responses I got was, I want to become promoted. I want to get promoted, make $30,000 more than what I'm making now. And for me, I want to create $1 million coaching practice that creates exponential results for my clients. I want that. What about you? And I want to say, you know, give yourself permission to want what you want. You don't have to have reasons. You don't have to explain. You don't have to apologize for what you want. You're allowed to want what you want. What do you want? And if you're watching this and if you have pen and paper, write it down. Write it down. You know this notebook I shared with you? I write it in my notebook over and over again. I want to create $1 million coaching practice. I practice believing in what I want, because that's like the hardest thing for ambitious people, believing that we can create what we want. So the next question is, Why do you want what you want? Andrea says she wants more responsibility and earn $25,000 more than what I make now. I want another job title and be satisfied with the work I do. Beautiful. Thank you. That's great. So why do you want it? Why do you want $25,000 more? Why do I want to create a $1 million coaching practice? For me, it's really deeply personal. Like I have shared on this webinar series, I grew up in a single parent immigrant home where money was tight. And I grew up always hearing that, you know, there's not enough money. Money is always lacking in our family. And I grew up listening to a lot of the thoughts and beliefs of scarcity mindset. Like there's never going to be enough money to go around somehow. And we're always going to be worrying about money running out. And for me, the desire to create a $1 million coaching practice is because I so badly want to overcome. I so badly want to break through my own limiting beliefs, the mindset that I was programmed, that I was socialized to have, that I was trained from a young age to have. I want to overcome. I want to break through and become an example of what is possible when you do break through, when you do overcome your limiting beliefs. That's why I want to create a $1 million coaching practice. I don't know how long it's going to take. It might take 5 years, 10 years. It might take 2 years, who knows? But I know that the desire is like, yeah, I want to show myself that this is possible for me. So what about you? And you know, it could be any reason. It could be that, you know, maybe you're in a household and you need to step up as a breadwinner. You feel the desire to provide for your children. Okay, Andrea says, I'm a first generation college student. I want to take better care of my family. Yeah, plus I am the main breadwinner in my home. Wow. Okay, Andrea, would you like to be coached through the rest of this process? And you have the option of joining as a panelist with video on, or you can just join via audio, so you don't have to show your face. As long as you're in a place where it's quiet, we can do this. So I'm looking for a volunteer. Okay, all right. Teresa, to feel belonging and fulfillment, meaningful way to contribute to support others deal with limitations, just as I had. Yeah, I love that. You know, when I ask this question to my clients too, there's what we find is that we want to succeed. We want to thrive. We want to make more money so that we can benefit others. We can benefit the people that we love. We know that becoming bolder, becoming braver, becoming better paid is not a selfish, it's not all about me. It's really about you stepping up and giving, right? Giving in a way that creates more value for people that you love. Yeah, so beautiful. Anyone else wants to share what they want, why they want it? Why do you want what you want? Let's get clear on that, because that's going to fuel your negotiation mojo. So far, we talked about gratitude, the power of gratitude, of the ultimate miracle. Yeah, it has the power to make you happy. We talked about future gratitude and how that can help you create the motivation, the drive to show up to nerve-wracking social engagement. My client wrote a thank you card from the future before he went to a very important networking event. And he was, as a result, successful at engaging with people in a real, genuine, authentic way. So, okay, so Andrea, are you ready? Or should we go to a different volunteer for the rest of this exercise? All right, and I'll give Andrea another minute. I see she's on the webinar, but I don't know if you're quite ready to be promoted to have to go through the rest of this exercise. Okay, all right, excellent. She is ready, let's do it. So Andrea, I am going to promote you to panelist. Hi, Andrea. Oh, you're on mute. Hi, Andrea.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing awesome. How are you?
I'm doing well.
All right. So you shared that you want to make $25,000 extra, be promoted, have a bigger title, and remind us why you want what you want.
So as I said, I am a first generation college student, the first in my family to attend undergrad and also the first in my family to get a master's degree. So at this point, I am looking to earn more because I think I am falling below where my potential is. So I'm working on being better and more present in how I look at my career and making better decisions around that.
Okay, so who would you need to have this conversation with so that you can set yourself for success and get what you want?
So there's a couple of things I need to do for myself first.
Okay.
So I already have an MBA. I am studying for the PMP certification. I work in the project management space. Mm-hmm. So I'll be taking that test the first of the year. But for me, I need to find a good mentor. And also, I need to find a career coach that can help guide me to the right opportunities rather than just trying to take it all on my own.
Well, I'd be more than happy to talk to you about career coaching. But for now, for the purpose of this exercise, let's think about one person who can help you get closer to that next step to bring you toward your goal. Who is that person for you?
So that person for me would be my current mentor.
Okay. Who is this mentor's name?
So her name is Cantrice Green.
Candace, is that what you said?
Cantrice.
Okay, Cantrice. Does Cantrice know you really well?
Yes.
Yeah. And she's somebody who knows the quality of your work really well. Is that fair to say?
Very fair to say.
Okay. So what I've done is I've written Cantrice on paper. Okay. Mm-hmm. And feel free to follow along if you want. I can also send you the replay of this afterwards. So if you want to just go along with this without worrying about taking notes, that's fine too.
Okay.
What are the three adjectives that she would use to describe you?
She would say focused,
professional,
and ambitious.
Nice. Okay. You're focused, professional, and ambitious. Beautiful. So let's kind of dig into each of these words, right? So what does focused look like for you? When you are focused, what does that look like?
For me, that looks like paying close attention to what's laid out in front of me, mm-hmm. and putting a plan of action together to get each task or project done.
All right. What else?
It also means putting away the outside distractions so that I can clearly look at what I need to work on.
Okay. So what has become possible because you're paying close attention, you're creating a plan of action, and you're putting aside distractions?
So the reason why she would describe me that way and kind of what's happened because of it is we talked about studying for that PMP certification, and I couldn't seem to find the time to do it. But it wasn't until I really focused on it that I was able to really devote an hour or two a day. I now have a schedule for my study sessions, and I have a much better plan of attack to get ready to take the exam.
All right. So what's the result you've created for yourself with this focus?
I am growing in my preparedness. To take the exam, all while maintaining the work that I need to do on a weekly basis.
Are you working right now?
Yes.
Okay. And so you are hoping to get promoted in the same company?
I am open to getting promoted in the same company if that's an option, but I'm also going to explore other options once I pass the exam.
Got it. So the PMP exam is like the milestone you want to achieve so that it sets you up for success for a better paying job.
Yes.
Okay, all right. So let's go to professional. Tell me, what does it look like? Why would Kentree say that you are professional?
So oftentimes when projects get frustrating or dates get missed, we can sometimes lose that professional veil that's required to really maintain your professional presence. So that is something that I never lose sight of. I always remember to use the right language, carry myself in a good manner, and always remain professional no matter what the obstacle or circumstances might be.
Why?
I don't allow myself to lose my professionalism because it's something that I see as a foundation of who I am.
Tell me more about that. What is at the foundation of who you are?
So early on in high school, I had a couple of teachers who had worked in a professional setting. They had come back from corporate America and were teaching a lot of my business-oriented classes. And so that was where I started the foundation of always carry yourself in a professional manner, use professional language, be careful about people's perception of you, and don't allow it to be dictated by what's going on.
Okay. All right. So could you give me an example?
Sure. So we had an incident where our date had been missed. We were sitting in a room where kind of attitudes were starting to bubble up and people were frustrated. You could hear the sarcasm being thrown around. And what I was able to do was to maintain my composure, bring everyone back together, and figure out a plan of action. And, you know, maintaining your composure in a room full of people can be one of the most difficult things to do.
All right. Nice. So tell me about ambitious. What makes you ambitious?
So I am constantly looking for other ways to increase what I'm providing. So whether it's a special project that I'm assigned to or a new initiative that is starting up, I'm asking for more responsibility and more opportunities to learn.
You're always looking to grow and learn.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What drives your ambition?
The desire to want to be better than where I am today.
Nice. Very good. Okay. So we've created word strings. Yeah. Focused for you means paying close attention, creating a plan of action, putting aside distractions. And the result that you've created for you is growing in your preparedness in terms of this PMP certification test. And professional is that you always remember to use the right language, and it's at the foundation of who you are. And an example that you shared of you being professional in regardless of the circumstances is that when there were attitude and frustration in the room, you were able to maintain your composure and create a plan of action. Did I miss anything?
Nope.
Okay. And for ambitious, you're always coming up with other ways to increase what you're providing. So it looks like you're always thinking about how to add value.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you're asking for more and always looking to grow and learn to be better than yesterday.
Yes.
Yeah, awesome. Okay, so now that we have a good idea of what Kentrice would say about you, let's think about the decision maker.
Mm-hmm.
Who is that decision maker you would have to persuade in order for you to get closer to achieving your goal of making $25,000 more?
So that would be my direct manager.
Okay, who is your direct manager? What? Give that person a fake name.
Let's call her Becky Sue.
Becky Sue, okay. So let's think about Becky Sue. Let's step into her shoes and think about, from Becky Sue's perspective, who is she looking to promote into that role that you want? In other words, what are the qualities that she wants to see in that person?
So she is looking for someone who is knowledgeable.
Yep.
Who is able to work across departments.
Mm-hmm.
And someone who has a strong executive presence.
Okay. Very good. I love you're right on point here. So from Becky Sue's perspective, what does knowledgeable look like?
So knowledgeable is not necessarily knowing everything, mm-hmm. but knowing who to go to, mm-hmm. or where the reference information might be.
Okay.
And it also means asking questions if you don't know.
So it sounds like resourceful.
Absolutely.
Yeah, resourceful. What else?
It also encompasses being willing to learn from others.
Yeah. So there's like element of humility.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Where have you seen knowledgeable characteristics in the people that you work with?
So I've seen it in a couple different areas. So I found that people will often shadow our more knowledgeable SMEs in the company or sign up for a training class to help grow their knowledge base. But also, even in a meeting, I've seen people unafraid to ask questions when things seem unclear.
Wow, I love that. So knowledgeable, like you said, it's not just about knowing the answers. It's like kind of having the chutzpah to raise your hand and say, I don't understand. Can you explain what this means?
Exactly.
To ask questions. Very good. Okay, so work across departments. Tell me more about that.
So in this area, you have to be able to kind of speak the language of the departments that you work with, understand what they need and kind of what their goals are,
mm-hmm.
and really be able to be a partner to the different areas without working in a silo type of approach.
Okay. So it's, I hear like diplomacy.
Absolutely.
I hear empathy.
Yes.
Right. That's a really important one, to understand their goals and work in not being stuck in silos. What else is there?
It's actually building relationships.
Building relationships. Very good. Okay. Who have you seen, or, you know, what are the characteristics you've seen when people work across departments?
I have seen people who take the time to learn more about the individual in the department, not just necessarily the department itself.
Mm-hmm.
So remembering something as simple as people's names or, you know, who they report to, things like that are critical in that element of building those relationships.
Right, right. Excellent, excellent. Okay, strong executive presence. What does that look like?
So that looks like someone who can hold their own in a room with our executive leadership, can be able to present information,
mm-hmm.
and someone that may have to deliver bad news to our leadership and management, and someone who understands how the messaging needs to change when dealing with different levels of the business.
Mm. So how does this person with strong executive presence, how do they deliver that bad news?
So it's about ownership,
mm-hmm.
and being upfront with it. So coming with the information as soon as you know about it and not attempting to kind of disguise it or kill time before you have to make that report. But it's also about having proposed answers on mm-hmm. how to fix it.
Mm-hmm. So this person is solution oriented.
Yes.
This person is a straight shooter.
Yes.
Yeah. Somebody who.
And they're articulate.
Articulate, trustworthy.
Yes.
Yeah. Beautiful. Good job. Okay. So for those of you who've been following along, what we've done is we've created 6 different word strengths. And please feel free to do one for yourself. Yes. Think about what are the words that my mentor or somebody who knows me really well, how would they describe me? And what does that look like for me? Get into it. Yeah. And then think about the decision maker that you have to influence with your negotiation and think about, okay, what are the 3 characteristics they are looking for? Okay, now, what we're going to do now is now that we've done the work of creating these word strings is look for the overlap.
Okay.
Yeah. So Becky Sue, the decision maker for you, she's looking for somebody who's knowledgeable, somebody who doesn't always know all the answers to everything, but knows where to go for the answers, who's not mm-hmm. afraid to ask questions, who is resourceful, who's willing to learn, who's humble, and somebody who knows how to work across departments, who speaks the language, understands different people and different departments' goals without getting into the silo mindset. Somebody who is diplomatic, empathetic, somebody who builds relationship, and this I really love, somebody who learns more about individuals. And I think that's so smart and strategic because when you negotiate with individuals.
Right.
You have to really know people, so that's great. And then finally, strong executive presence, somebody who holds their own, be able to present information, share bad news with ownership, and was upfront, trustworthy, articulate, and solution-oriented, somebody who's a straight shooter. Very good. So which of these are you? Which of these do you feel like, yep, that's definitely me?
I would say focused.
Yeah.
I would definitely say that one first.
Okay. Where do you see the overlap here?
So I see the overlap between knowledgeable and focused.
Knowledgeable and focused. Yep.
And then ambitious and executive presence.
Mm-hmm.
Making those opportunities for yourself to be able to improve your executive presence by getting on those special projects and delivering more value to what you're working on.
Yeah. And not only that, you now have your own custom strategy.
Right.
To work towards the person that Becky Sue is most likely to promote.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. What else?
And I think the professional piece goes across the board.
Yes.
So for each area that Becky Sue would be looking for, that professionalism could go across all of those lines.
All right. Excellent. Excellent. So now that we've explored these two different perspectives, where is the shortfall? Where's the gap?
So I think the gap right now is me being able to articulate where I am in between those two areas and how my mentor sees me and how Becky Sue sees me. I think I'm missing how to showcase my abilities in that light and where it's needed.
So can you give me an example? Like where do you feel where the biggest gap is for you in terms of articulating and showcasing what you are capable of?
So my biggest issue right now is I often want to hide behind written communication rather than putting myself out there and presenting in front of a group or going into the office and delivering that news. I really just want to make sure that I'm more comfortable behind the scenes rather than putting myself out there.
Yeah. And, you know, I just noticed that you are somebody who is articulate.
I do consider myself to be very articulate with strong communication skills.
Yeah.
But I think it may also be an element of confidence or courage in really putting myself out there.
Okay. Okay. So you're going to work on your executive presence, in other words, because you talked about the person who knows how to articulate with ownership, solution oriented. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. And we have an attendee who shares, Andrea is amazingly articulate. You have it, girl.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. So now that we've identified some areas where you are strong and some areas where you can work on, let's focus on like how do we articulate your potential for the future now.
Okay.
So the easiest way to do that is think about what you have already done and what or how that can be used to create more benefit in the future.
Okay, that makes sense.
So let's break it down. Tell me how you were knowledgeable in a focused way. Give me a specific example of that.
Okay, so I am one of the head PMs over all acquisitions for what I do. So coming into it, I knew nothing about the process or what was required of it.
Yeah.
So for the first couple of weeks, I focused on reviewing all of the documentation from previous ones to help build the information I knew about key terms, dates, best practices, so that the next time I was asked to perform, it was much easier for me to start to put the plan together because I had done all that legwork leading up to it.
So what was the net result you've created by putting together the best practices, creating this plan, and doing the legwork ahead of time?
So it helped me avoid some of the pitfalls that had occurred in past projects, and it allowed me to put out a better product than what had happened in the past. Although there were still some pitfalls, we've learned quite a bit, and I've learned quite a bit along the way that even leadership can now see the process is starting to be put into motion.
Yeah. Can you imagine that your employer and your team would benefit from avoiding pitfalls in the future?
Yes.
Absolutely. All right. Yeah. So what I'm hearing from you is that with your focus and your resourcefulness and your willingness to do the legwork ahead of time, the benefit that you create for them in the future is that they can avoid pitfalls.
Yes.
And they can increase their learning and
productivity. Absolutely.
Yeah. Great job. Okay, so professional. Sorry about that. Okay. Professional, working across departments. What's an example that you can share with me about that?
So what I have learned, and an example around that would be, often we get into a room where it's assumed that everyone knows each other. And what I've done is taken the time out to, one, go around and have proper introductions mm-hmm. whenever I start a new work effort. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that I've become known for is that I work to deliver information in the most professional manner. So no matter who is sitting in the room or who I've gotten to know, I make sure that I understand who I'm sitting with, but also I deliver the information to everyone. So no one feels left out.
So no one feels left out. And what is the benefit that you create because no one feels left out?
So everyone feels that they have more ownership mm-hmm. and more stake in the work effort yeah. when they are involved in the communication and the status update. Everyone feels like their piece is just as important as the next one.
Nice, nice. So what I'm hearing is that your professionalism creates an environment where everyone has more ownership and they show up with more responsibility.
Yes.
Yeah. Very good. Ambitious. Strong presence.
So this is one of the areas where I'll go back to the acquisitions. I am actually putting together a guide on how my company does all acquisitions. Mm-hmm. So going to each department, figuring out best practices, key steps, predecessors, and areas of the critical path. And I will be responsible for presenting this to executive leadership once the draft is complete.
Nice.
So this isn't something I can just email out. It has to be presented and really talked through to get them to buy into what we've put together.
Okay, let's go to Fantasyland. Let's imagine that you do this presentation in front of the executive leadership.
Okay.
And you blow their minds.
Okay.
What is the change that is now possible? What is the transformation that is now possible because the executives are like, whoa, wow, we haven't thought of that yet.
So there's a couple of areas. The first would be better transparency to the mm-hmm. work that we do. Mm-hmm. It would be increased ownership across departments. Mm-hmm. And the third thing would be efficiency mm-hmm. on how we handle the entire process.
Mm. How do they benefit from transparency, ownership, and efficiency? I know it seems kind of like duh, but
I think it all boils down to cost saving. The better we execute, the more efficient we are, the more cost savings in the long run.
Nice, very nice. Is it possible for you to guesstimate that cost savings?
I think that would be possible. I can look at some of the areas where we have decreased work effort and timing, and I think I would be able to put a figure with that.
Yeah, I highly recommend it.
Okay, I can do that.
It's so much more compelling when you say, hey, under the right circumstances, we can save $1 million, $500,000, whatever, right? If you say that, it's just like so much more compelling because it's concrete.
Okay.
Yeah. So what's here for you now that we've gone through this exercise?
So it really just comes down to putting it all together. So looking at all of the areas that we've discussed and really putting them into practice in how I carry myself and the opportunities that I get and stepping out of that comfort zone in the long run.
Yeah. So how do you imagine that you will feel as you are putting these new strategies into practice?
I think equipped with the right knowledge is definitely something I would describe it as.
Yeah, equipped, like ready.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. What will you be thinking about you as you feel equipped?
That I can actually do it, kind of eliminating the fear of thinking I don't have the ability to handle what's being given to me, yeah. But feeling like I am ready to finally step out of that comfort zone.
Yeah, I am ready. When you see that and you entertain that thought, I am ready, does it help you feel equipped?
Yes.
All right. I want you to practice the thought, I am ready.
Okay.
You know,
I am ready.
Sometimes my clients write it on a post-it note where they can see it every day. Mm-hmm. I literally have a notebook where I practice my intentional thoughts every day.
Right.
Sometimes I repeat intentional thoughts to myself. But it's so powerful when you entertain that thought, because that can create the emotion of feeling equipped, and that will fuel you as you step out of your comfort zone.
I can do that.
Beautiful. Well, thank you, Andrea.
Thank you so much.
Best of luck.
I appreciate it.
All right. I'm going to now return to the regular programming, and I'm just trying to figure out. I knew how to do this. I don't see. Oh, okay. There you go. I'm going to send everyone the recording to this webinar so you can, you know, rewatch and follow along. I just want to say thank you again to Andrea. For those of you who've been watching, what did you notice? What would you like to convey to Andrea? Teresa says, Andrea is amazingly articulate. And I want to say, Andrea, you are ready. You are definitely ready. Andrea has a very clear mind and able to communicate, and she has goals and knows what she wants. It's so powerful. It's so powerful when you know what you want. Yes, inspirational. Absolutely, absolutely. So thank you. Thank you so much for stepping up to the plate. You know, I think it's so powerful. Once you decide what it is that you want, your mind goes to work on helping you create that strategy. Yeah. So as a wrap up, I want to say again, thank you. And I want to thank you in advance. I want to thank your future selves for braving that difficult, sometimes embarrassing, and very audacious conversation, because that's what it takes. It takes braving that difficult conversation, just showing up, yeah, stepping out of your comfort zone. Yeah, you're most welcome. If you want to learn more about my coaching, come to jamieleecoach.com. I do have a holiday special going on, and I have a small group mastermind. There's going to be a group of 10 women, including me. We're going to support each other to create amazing results in 2019. We're going to meet in the month of January and February for group coaching and accountability. So if you want to learn more about that, again, email me or come to jamieleecoach.com. jamielee.com. I'm Jamie at jamieleecoach.com. I wish you a really wonderful holiday. I'm going to be doing another one of these free coaching calls next Tuesday, early morning, just to see if that works better for more people. And I will have future dates up in December if you want to join those calls. Have a wonderful holiday, and I wish you a bolder, braver, and better paid 2019.